Righty-o, we'll move on to agenda paper 12, and that's on the due process handbook review. So we'll start by having a look at the purpose of the session, moving on to the questions that we're going to pose to ASAF members. Also look at the background to the review, our timeline and next steps. Before moving on to look at the key proposals, we'll start by looking at effects analysis, and then Richard will take you through our proposed amendments relating to agenda decisions and some of the other matters we're addressing in the review. So the purpose of the session is to provide yourselves with a preview of the proposed amendments to the handbook and to seek advice on the outreach to be performed. So we're putting the final touches to the invitation to comment document at the moment, so it should be exposed for comment within the next couple of weeks. The DPOC agreed to that to be exposed in a public call last month. And obviously, as ASAF members and national standard setters, you are very much intrinsic to the board's due process, so we would very much welcome your comments on that document when it is exposed for a 90-day comment letter period. So the questions that we're posing today are, which topics do ASAF members recommend that we focus on during outreach activities? And in addition to national standard setters, are there any other constituent groups we should focus our outreach with? This is very much taken into consideration that the changes are targeted to the specific areas we will discuss today. So looking at the background to the review, so November 2017, the DPOC decided to undertake a review of the handbook as the last substantive amendment of the handbook was in 2013, and also to remain to ensure that it remains fit for purpose in light of the developments in the board's and the committee's processes. So looking at our timeline and next steps, we consulted stakeholders early in the project, as you can see, in the first and third quarters of 2018, including yourselves last April. So after considering detailed recommendations in October of last year and January of this year, the DPOC agreed to publish the proposed amendments, as I said, in a public call last month. We're also putting those final touches to the document, as I mentioned, so do watch this space. The DPOC will consider the comment letter analysis in October, and we will seek to publish the final document as early as we can in 2020. So moving on to look at the first key proposed amendment, and that will, I'll start with effects analysis. So the proposed amendments in this area seek to clarify the scope of the board's analysis, emphasize how the process and reporting takes place throughout standard setting, and to also differentiate the process of the analysis from how those effects are reported. The proposed amendments reflect the developments in the board's process in this area, considering recent effects analysis undertaken on IFRS 16 leases, IFRS 17 insurance contracts, also take into consideration the recommendations made by the effects analysis consultative group. This was a group of independent experts that was established by the trustees to make recommendations on the board's process for assessing the likely effects, which culminated in a report that was published in the latter part of 2014. We also specifically consulted on effects analysis with the Advisory Council last year. The recommendations from both advise that the main focus of the board's analysis should be on the effects to financial statements, which takes us into slide 9, which looks at the scope and the main focus of the board's analysis. The proposed amendments highlight that the principal focus of that analysis does remain on the analysis of how financial statements are likely to change, whether those changes will improve the quality of financial statements, and whether those changes are justifiable from a cost-benefit perspective. However, the DPOC wanted to acknowledge that the board has regard to financial stability where relevant when undertaking an effects analysis. The board's process and scope in this area in recent years has taken this into consideration when we look at the effects analysis, as I mentioned, for IFRS 16 and IFRS 17, which reflect those EACG recommendations. So having regard to financial stability in the context of the board's analysis of effects is very much connected to the idea that IFRS standards provide high quality, transparent and comparable financial information, which enhances financial markets around the world. And this idea is also found in the Foundation's mission statement. Now looking at the consideration of effects and how it's reported throughout the standard setting process, it is very important to understand that this is very much ongoing throughout that process. And as I mentioned, the proposed amendments look to more clearly differentiate between those two related but different matters. And that's the process of assessing the effects and the effects analysis report that is published alongside a major standard. Now we're trying, our proposed amendments in this area are trying to avoid giving the impression that the board's analysis takes place only at the end of the standard setting process when the effects analysis report is published. So I'll now hand over to Richard and he'll go over some of our proposed amendments relating to agenda decisions.
Yes, good morning everybody, my name's Richard Thorpe, I'm the Director for Trustee Activities. I'll take these glasses off. Agenda decisions, there are three areas where the Due Process Oversight Committee is proposing amendments. Mostly they are clarificatory, but some are more substantive. On the actual status of agenda decisions, you'll be aware of this, it's set out on slides 13 and 14. The committee is proposing amendments just to be clearer on the status of those agenda decisions, because there's not an awful lot in there in the handbook at the moment. So we're proposing to clarify the objective of explanatory material in agenda decisions, and also to explain more, in more detail the nature of that material. On timing, which is on slide 17, this too is clarificatory and really reflects what the board is already thinking, which is that an entity should have sufficient time to react to an agenda decision if they believe it would involve a change to accounting policy. This will be in the handbook. We know that preparers don't spend a lot of time reading the handbook, so we'd expect this also to be in any agenda decisions that are published. The more substantive issue, which is set out on slides 19, 20 and 21, is the proposal that the board should be given the power to have an agenda decision for issues that they are addressing, which would be intended to be virtually identical to the Interpretations Committee's agenda decision power, but would be applied in very narrow circumstances where it would be more appropriate for the board than for the committee to make that decision. And that is one of the bigger proposals that's being made. So the proposal is set out in slightly more detail on slide 21. This enhances the board ability to support consistent application, and it would follow the same due process as all applications or letters would still come into the Interpretations Committee, but they were still going through there, and there would be a decision that this should be done by the board rather than the committee. The questions that we've had on this generally have been, how often do you think this will happen? And the answer at this stage is rarely, but we don't know any more than that. So if that's what you're asking yourselves, that's where we are on this. But it is one of the bigger issues that we have proposed here. Just to complete, I'll just quickly run through the other issues that we're looking at, which are on slide 23. We want to refine the process of consultation for adding issues to the work plan. Refine the status of the Advisory Council as a strategic body, and we will have a consequential amendment to the Constitution going out at the same time to bring those into line. Have regard to the changing use of educational materials so that the handbook has better maps against that. And specify the DPOC's role on the taxonomy, because that isn't always clear at the moment. So those are relatively minor issues, and that's what we're proposing.
And so the question for the ASAF is really on the outreach?
So questions can be found on slide 4. Just to reiterate that that's trying to focus on who we should focus our outreach activities on. And again, taking into consideration that our proposed amendments are focused on those specific areas. And obviously, in addition to national standard setters, are there any other constituent groups who you'd recommend that we should focus said outreach on? So that's slide 4.
Yes, Kim.
So without limiting
the outreach. I thought maybe targeted outreach to securities regulators, either individually or through IOSCO, particularly as it relates to the issue of the agenda decisions and expanding that scope. There's a big interaction in terms of timing and expectation, not just of national standard setters, but regulators of are they on the same page? If that's expanded to the board, would they view that the same way? So it just seems securities regulators would be a natural outreach.
Jeho?
Yeah, I would like to make one specific comment on agenda decision. So during the interpretation committee discussion, there might be some occasions on which additional issues are arising in conjunction with the additional issues might be arising in conjunction with original submission. So as far as I observe, the interpretation committee tends to shy away from addressing those additional issues, but only stick to the original submission. But my question is that given that this proposed amendment tried to characterize the agenda decision as explanatory material, wouldn't it be more explanatory if we include those additional issues in the interpretation committee's agenda decision as well? So I think that this aspect might be looked at this proposed amendment of the due process handbook. Yeah, thank you.
Raji?
I am here to give the view of the AOSSG and in particular of Australia on the agenda decision. As it is stated that agenda decision cannot add or change any requirements of the IFRS, but whether this position is effective in practice, that is required to be reviewed. The local feedback, probably some or perhaps most of the auditors treat agenda decisions as effectively the same like IFRS standard. And therefore the question arises, what is the status of agenda decision? That is required to be clarified in particular. I do agree as far as issue of timings is concerned, that is also required to be clarified.
Tricia.
I would agree with the suggestion that you should be talking to regulators and you should be talking to auditors. I think that one's going to be very important. I think on the board agenda decisions, in doing that discussion, you really do need to provide some examples of what you think could be an agenda decision from the board. When in the past would the board have used this power? And I think we're having trouble pretending that the Interpretations Committee agenda decisions are voluntary. I think it's going to be absolutely impossible to pretend that a board agenda decision is voluntary. And I think you're going to need to be very, very clear on that, because if this is an official pronouncement from the board, I don't think anybody in the regulatory space would be able to treat it as non-voluntary. The other thing we're finding with some of the recent agenda decisions is there's increasing interest from preparers. So I don't think you should leave the preparer community out, maybe get to them through organizational bodies rather than trying to go to individual preparers. But particularly on some of the recent Interpretations Committee agenda decisions, there has been a degree of concern, and so I think they ought to be in the loop in terms of making sure that they're thinking about it and they're coming back to you with examples and coming back to you with their views. And I just have to say that we really do support your enhanced focus on effects analysis, because FRAG's been asking for that for a very long time. You may note that we did our first early stage impact assessment on the FICE project, We're currently trying to get feedback on whether people actually found it was useful, not on do you agree with the conclusions, but putting something like this out so early in the standard setting process, does it help? And so we'll be happy to feed that information back to you when we get it, because you may, if it's found to be useful, you may want to move your processes earlier, even if they're not as complete as the final version when a major standard's issued. And as a last thought, a board agenda decision is going to be an appalling acronym.
Sue, did you want to go in?
Yeah, just, well, good to hear preparers are paying increasing attention to agenda decisions. It's good to hear. A couple of you have already made comments about the status of agenda decisions, and I think that we're very much aware of the sort of some confusion and lack of clarity on that front. So one of the things we are going to try and do in the document which is going out for comment, even though the primary focus is on due process, we are taking the opportunity to try and improve the articulation of what an agenda decision is and what it isn't, and what it can contain and what it sort of can't contain. So we're hoping that will improve with the communication and understanding, but we certainly look forward to your comments on that front.
But it's not voluntary.
No, certainly it's not voluntary. but we're trying to, well, we're not using the word voluntary or mandatory,
exactly.
But we're trying to articulate better what the status is. And I think we also need to think about whether, in addition to the due process handbook, we need to improve our communication around that more generally anyway.
Would it help if I gave an example of the type of situation which
yes, the board, also for me.
Board may, if they'd had this ability in the past, may have used. And there aren't actually that many occasions when I think back over recent years, which I think emphasises the point Richard was making and which will be explicit in the handbook. This isn't something that the board expects to be issuing, you know, very regularly. It's much more on rare occurrences. But the board, I think it was in early 2016 time, we became aware of some questions around the interaction between IFRS 15 and IFRS 9. It was to do with some contracts which had provisional price settlements and commodity contracts. And the board had a discussion about the matter, decided standard setting wasn't necessary. And the board paper that staff had prepared sort of laid out analysis about how we saw the two standards working together. And I think that's the type of situation whereby it would have been helpful probably to have captured the key points from the paper in an agenda decision that would have transmitted that information to the marketplace in a better way than effectively flagging the board paper on the IFRS 15 implementation support page and the like. So it's that type of issue where the board is dealing with a question directly themselves, but it hasn't come through the interpretations committee, and they just think it would be helpful to have more formal mechanisms for getting out some key points about the applications of the standard rather than a webcast or something like that.
Yeah. And the reason why in that case it went to the board rather than the interpretations committee is simply because IFRS 15 was so new and the board had been thinking about these issues so recently that it was a question that was perhaps better suited to the board than to the interpretations committee, which is very, very specialist in sort of practice in the market, and there was no practice here.
I think it'd be very useful when you talk to people to bring them something like that so that it's clear.
Makes it more real to
what it is.
Suggestion.
Cédric?
Thank you. Well, I think the two main issues have already been raised. That is the status of agenda decision and the timing issue. With regard to the status, it's already a discussion that we have had in France, but also that we probably should raise in at EFRAG level because of the endorsement project, and because of the endorsement process. Since agenda decisions are not actually standard setting, they are not in the scope of the endorsement process. So that's our business, but we have a double situation because on the one hand, the agenda decision as a simplified process at ISB level, and on the other hand, there is no endorsement process at all in Europe on that issue, and in the general context, there will be a development of such guidance that we have to address, because much of the new information, new guidance is coming from basis for conclusion, is coming from agenda decision, is coming from taxonomy, and many different things which are not directly in the scope of the standard setting, which is actually an issue for us to be addressed. And if we don't address it as national standard setter, it will be addressed by the enforcers themselves. And finally, they become as authoritative as it has been originally a standard, but it's performed by others. On the timing issue, as far as I understand, the suggestion made here would the board agenda decision would relate to standards that are not implemented yet. If my understanding is correct. So the timing issue may also be a very important one for preparers in the phase of implementing a new standard. If there is late in that process an agenda decision of the board that may change the understanding that people have. So it's also a very important issue. We have seen the discussion on the agenda decision of IFRIC and how can we manage the time and in the transition phase, and as that will be also an issue in that case. So.
I think that is a fair point, but it is an issue we already have to deal with today at the Interpretations Committee, because
no, sure.
In 99.9% of cases, the questions that we answer are because of submissions. And so people might submit questions at inconvenient times from an implementation perspective.
Yeah. No, it's fair.
Noble.
Yes, thank you. I won't repeat our view on the status of the gender decision. I have a question on slide 23. I may have missed it, but
can you speak up a little bit, maybe?
On the fourth line of slide 23, it says seeking input on projects not previously considered in an agenda decision.
Sorry, which slide was that?
23.
The streamlining of the process for research to standard setting. On slide 23.
So it's the second bullet point. And seeking input on projects not previously considered in an agenda decision. Is that what you want to say? Or I thought it was agenda consultation, but I might
agenda work plan.
So that's to do with the work plan, absolutely. Yeah. So that's refining paragraph 5.6 of the due process handbook, actually, and to do with our 5-yearly agenda consultation. So yes, apologies for that.
Well, I think that Nobu's picking up the fact we've got a typo.
It should say agenda consultation.
Cross out by Japanese precision.
Yeah. Well done.
Yes.
The G's.
Thank you. Also like to lend my support to focus on effects analysis. Also supportive of the concept of board decision, agenda decisions. I think the skill is going to be just to make sure that they're widely communicated and there's appropriate transparency so that people aren't looking for various different sources of where decisions have been taken. I think most of the suggestions in terms of focus of outreach activities, or certainly who to seek to outreach with, have been made, but I assume you've got users in there somewhere.
Investors.
I doubt whether they will be very much interested.
That is always a challenge, but it's better to at least have talk to outreach the not.
We are talking about the due process handbook, not the standard setting itself when we're doing.
Maybe the effects analysis.
Effects analysis. They could be.
But even just how the process is that if this is important to users, then seeking to get their input into how the process should work, I think, is worth attempting to do.
Yuchen.
Okay. Well, thank you. First of all, we believe the due process is very critical to ensuring the quality of IFRS, and we welcome the board agenda decision, as mentioned in the agenda paper. And in recent years, well, we are very happy to see the improvement in the efficiency of the IFRIC, and we also hope a timely and effective mechanism for interpretation and for implementation of IFRS could be established by the ISB. And on a separate matter, taking this opportunity, we have another suggestion regarding to improve the understandability of the DP or the ED, because in recent years we found that a lot of stakeholders, they didn't pay much attention to the EDs or DPs, although we circulate the translated ED or DP of IFRS in China, but sometimes we got very little comments. One reason is maybe that the DP or the ED sometimes it's not easy to understand, partly due to the technical issue, but another reason is because of the language issue, and sometimes even it's very difficult to translate it, for us to translate it in Chinese. So our suggestion is when we hope that the ED or DP could be much more clearer and easy to understand for the readers to know what's the main proposal in the draft, and if possible, and indicate some possible effect it may have for the stakeholders to consider. Maybe that's just our suggestion, because we found that these stakeholders, they are not concerned about the ED or DP, but when it become a final standard, they showed a lot of concerns. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Shibaji.
As far as slide number 9 is concerned, it refers to the principal focus of IASB analysis remaining on how the financial statements are likely to change, whether to improve the quality of financial statements, and whether the changes are justifiable. However, in the later bullet points on the slide, it refers to the board having regard to the effects on financial stability and to specific economic effects where relevant. It is a little bit unclear when these effects would not be relevant, as presumably they would be a factor in considering whether the accounting changes are justifiable. Outreach to clarify their relation to justifiable changes and to consult on the relevance of these effects might be useful.
Okay.
There are a few more points.
Yes.
On slide number 23, the other matters, the refining the consultative process before adding a project to the action of work plan. Here the suggestion of USAG and in particular Australia, an efficient but not hasty process would be desired. And consultation would help to clarify what is appropriate. And the last comment, that is about other constituent groups to be focused on outreach other than the national standard setters. The issue is, why there should be a focus only on a particular group. Since the proposals could affect the extent to which accounting policies and financial statement change. Therefore, in addition to the national standard setters, which can be a main focus, there are other stakeholders are also to be considered, namely the preparers, auditors, investors, analysts, as well as regulators.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, well, I suppose this brings us to the end of discussion.
Thank you very much.
Let's have a break till